Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and this interview was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For the latest news and terms and conditions, go to ukwineshow.co.uk.
Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and I'm here with Tom Forrest. How are you, Tom?
I'm fine, Chris. How are you?
I'm very good indeed, very good indeed, although I've just spent the last 2 hours driving across London on what Google Maps said was a one-hour journey. So, and that wasn't even during busy traffic as well, so who knows what the heck's going on.
I always
there.
Think when you're driving through London, you start off at an hour and then add time from then onwards,
yeah.
Even if you're going next door.
I normally double it. I normally double my time, and I would have been bang on time if I'd listened to my own advice. Never mind. But the reason I had to travel across London is because we're here in Vinopolis.
Yes, welcome here.
Is Vinopolis technically a museum, or what would you describe it?
We would describe ourselves as a wine-based visitor attraction.
Yeah.
I think it's a better way of doing it. We've always tried to avoid the museum tag, because I think museum, you tend to think of old things and being quite stuffy, and that's the one thing that we've never been about wine, because it's always been to look at wine with a fresh outlook.
Okay, cool. The reason we're here is I've been meaning to interview. In fact, we've tried numerous times over the years to interview you, but now Vinopolis is going to be closing down at the end of the year, and I thought, oh gosh, better get in here and interview and encourage a few people to come down and have a look.
Yes, of course, yes.
Before you close up in 6 months' time.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, it's a strange time for us, because we're still successful, we're still doing good business, but we're just really victims of our own success in that we've helped to develop the area. And because the area has been developed and the property has risen and the property values have risen, you know, we've been bought out by a property developer who wants to make more money out of the site.
Well, we'll get on to that later on. But before we get into it, this interview, I just really want to talk a bit about yourself and a bit about Vinopolis, a bit about the history, etc. Mm-hmm. Because you were here right at the very beginning, weren't you?
I was, yes, yes.
Were you employee number two or three or something?
30.
30, employee 30. Number 30.
Employee number 30.
Oh, okay.
Which is a bit worrying sometimes.
Yeah.
So I can never quite work out if that shows a lack of ambition or the fact that I've just found the perfect job. And I'd like to think I found the perfect job.
Oh, well for a while anyway. So let's find out about yourself then, Tom, because you've been in the wine trade doing winey things for a while.
Yes. I mean, my original background is catering. Trained in catering, worked in hotels and restaurants, mainly on the food service side, and then did some educational work, working in college, delivering food service, alcoholic beverages and related subjects up to degree level. And then when I left that, I started working for the Wine Challenge, which I think is something that everybody in the wine trade has done at some point in their life, is at least one stint in the International Wine Challenge.
Is that tasting or judging or working at the back?
Well, I was working at the back to begin with, but now I'm a judge. So I started there, worked there for a couple of years, working on Wine Magazine, and then came into Vinopolis.
Okay. And do you have any formal qualifications?
WSET diploma.
Yep.
Failed entrant to Master of Wine. But
failed the entrance.
In my mind's eye, I probably did, yes.
Probably the best thing anyway. I was reading it's got like a 6% pass rate or something like that.
It is, yes. Yeah. So. I don't think that'd be good for my ego.
No, fair enough. Okay, so now you joined Vinopolis employee number 30. So was that before or after they opened up?
It was before we opened up. I was part of the startup team. So in those days, I was responsible just for the tasting team.
Mm-hmm. And when was that? How long
that
ago?
That was 1999.
Yeah, 99.
Yeah,
wasn't
that century.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I'm really feeling old now. So I helped develop the first tasting team. And then as we developed onwards from there, sort of moved into a role where I am now, which is looking after wine education, looking after the training of the teams, but also with an overall view of the running of the operation.
Yeah. Okay. And how many people would you normally have in the business running, you know, the whole, not only for you, but just the whole business? How many people does it not support?
Off the top of my head, I would say we're normally employing, if you include the restaurants, on site, not necessarily the event staff, because they're more on a more casual basis, but 120 people.
Yeah, it's a reasonable number, isn't
reasonable
it?
Reasonable number, yeah.
And as you're tapering off now towards Christmas time and closing down, are you managing to hold on to them? Because I imagine some people will sort of run for the hills and get another job or something like that.
Well, we're hoping to hold on to as many as we can. But obviously, we're not going to stand in the way of anybody if they find a job. We can't sort of sit and hold them to anything and then just leave them on. You know, we're a team. We've got a good relationship with each other, and because we're not closing down because of our fault, if that makes sense. Yeah. We are looking after our guys as much as possible and supporting them if they find a new role.
Okay, so let's just talk a wee bit about what Vinopolis is. You said earlier it's not a museum; it's an event space, really, isn't it? But what are the key attractions or features that people? Because you've still got 6 months to go.
Yep.
Well, what date's your closing date?
It's the 31st of December.
31st of December. Yeah. Oh, heck of a New Year's Eve party then.
Oh, I hope so. Yes. Not quite sure how I'm going to get home from that one.
And normally in a supermarket trolley is the way, isn't it?
It has been known. Yes. Business is built around the wine experience, and our wine experience is where we have just over 100 wines available for tasting every day. They're nearly all presented through enomatic machines, so they're at the perfect temperature and the perfect condition. And then to assist your decision making, when you're selecting wines, we have our hosts who stand in front of the machines or in the area in front and help you guide you through your tasting experience.
Yep.
Yep. And so that's the main part. And then off of there, we also have large corporate events and our corporate event spaces. But we also do private tastings, private masterclasses. We're normally running 3 or 4 of those a week.
Yep.
Based either on cheese and wine, chocolate and wine, whiskey in conjunction with the Whiskey Exchange, one of our tenants who's probably one of the best whiskey shops in London. They say the world. And then we also do welcome to wine tastings, general things like that.
Okay. It's been a while since I've been around Vinopolis. I think when I first came to London, it would have been in about 2002, one of my employer took us all around. We all had a bit of a look around. And I also went around here once with my wife quite a few years ago. But it was, to me, there was a lot of it. It was quite free flow. You just wandered around. There was exhibitions that you did and you engaged with things. Is that still the big, you know, bread and butter of the business?
It's still the bread and butter. We've changed the focus slightly. Vinopolis, what we really agree is that people buy wine. The vast majority of people buy wine because they like what it tastes like. Mm-hmm. And so we've changed our outlook as to how we present the wines to our guests. Rather than the sort of supermarket way of everything by country and colour and great variety, we've tried to walk away from that and look at flavour profiles.
Yep.
So we've grouped our wines under flavour profiles such as crisp and dry white wines,
yep,
full flavoured and rich. Red wines, rich and powerful reds. The idea being that if you know you like a big red, that's the area where you can start looking.
Yeah, yeah.
And then if you find a wine that you like in that selection, you should feel confident that the wines on either side of it are in the similar profile, and therefore you should like them.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's expanding your knowledge rather than perhaps other people's attitude, which is, well, if you like this wine, you'll like this more expensive wine.
That's what retailers say. Do you guys sell wine here?
Well, we have a relationship with Laithwaite's at the moment. It was originally Majestic, but like all partnerships, it came to an end, a natural end, and we work now with Laithwaite's. And Laithwaite's, on our branch, if you like, will sell their own wines, but they'll also sell every wine that's on the wine experience, which is not necessarily a Laithwaite's wine.
Okay, yeah. So they give the consumer a chance to purchase anything they've liked.
That's right.
Which is quite nice. You know, we run wine tastings. We allow people to buy wines. We actually don't care if we sell wine or not. We run a wine tasting. Yeah. It's not really a key thing for us. But sometimes people really want to be able to take a wine home. So
that's it. And the advantage of the enomatic machine now is because we get our guests to register their card that has their credits on it, we can send them a tasting note for every wine that they have tasted.
Oh, yeah, that's
so
true.
So every Monday morning, there's an email goes out, and if you've tasted some wines, you get that information about the wine, its vintage, its origins, it's the story behind the wine, the tasting note, and a link to give you an opportunity to purchase it as well.
Yep, yep. Okay, cool. What sort of the key attractions that people really enjoy here?
Well, I always think that people come to Vinopolis for wines, to taste wines that they don't normally find. So we've always had a very good relationship with Wines of Georgia, for example.
Oh, okay.
Because we always think that...
Do you have orange wine here?
We don't go quite that far. No. No. But we do have... We think that Georgia is where winemaking began.
It's all pretty
it's
close.
It's one of the countries in that region.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so we work with the Georgians, and so we've always had Georgian wine on taste. And so that's always an interesting element.
They do have some weird wines from Georgia, though, doesn't it? You know, they use a lot of the Georgian wines I've tried have been in amphoras that have buried and all, you know, oxidized and all sorts of traditional methods sometimes.
Well, they have. I mean, we've got one semi-traditional wine, which is a semi-sweet red, which is different. It's weird.
Yeah, yeah.
Only because it's not what we're used to, but it's very popular in Georgia.
Yeah, yeah.
So we have a couple of whites and a couple of reds that we rotate around. And then next to that, we're working with wines of Turkey,
yeah,
and showing some indigenous grape varieties from Turkey,
okay,
which are almost unpronounceable, but producing some really nice wines, and I think they're proving really popular with our guests.
Yeah, yeah, because Turkey, I've had some Turkey wines, but most of them are sort of international grape varieties, and Turkey's quite hot. They always seem overripe sometimes, whereas an indigenous grape variety is probably better acclimatized.
That's right. That's right. And there's some great varieties such as a.
Here we go.
And I am going to upset someone. I'm going to apologise now for my Turkish. The Okuz Gojo,
yeah,
which produces quite a big wine, and produces some really nice flavours.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're again, it's because it's something different. Our guests are willing to do that. And in addition, you know, yeah. So what's always been popular is also in addition has been our champagne bar.
Yep.
And at the moment we work with Canard Duchesne, and really reflecting the improvement in quality that Canard Duchesne have come across since they became a privately owned again, instead of being part of a big multinational conglomerate as they were.
What do you think Vinopolis has done for the wine industry in London or the UK?
It always amazes me. I've just come back from the London Wine Fair, and I'm sort of, and it just always impresses me. And I'm walking around and I bump into ex-members of the team, and we find out that they're working in Liberty Wine, they're working for Anotria, they're working for the International Wine Challenge, Decanter World Wine Awards, and the International Wine and Spirits Competition. We're very egalitarian here.
Yeah, yeah.
We've got one of the winemakers at Chapel Down is an ex-member of the team here. So I think it's always impresses me that the people who have a relationship with Vinopolis, and they pop up all over the industry. So I think we've done quite a lot in helping the industry in that way.
Yeah, yeah. Do you do a lot of staff training or do you run WST courses for your staff, or are they expected to have those sort of qualifications before they arrive, or do they require those qualifications to work here?
Well, because we're bringing people in from all over the world, we train all of our team up to at least WSET level 3, and then one or two we give some support to get their level 4 diploma. I think we've got two members of the team on that course at the moment.
Yep.
And it's not just our wine team that we train through WSET. Our attitude has always been that anyone who's got Vinopolis top on could be asked a question about wine, so we encourage all of our team to come through and take part in the wine training, whether it's in our restaurant staff or in the bars or in reception desk or whatever, because they could all get asked a question about wine.
Yeah.
So they're all at least level 2 trained.
Yeah, no, that's quite good. We run that policy as well. Most of our team who are presenters, yeah, we don't interview them unless they've got level 3. So,
yeah.
But we've got a few office people now, and we just work our way through just trying to,
yes,
make sure,
yes,
that, you know, they don't, yeah, need any wine skills, but, yeah, just give it to them anyway.
Yes, I mean, even our event staff, you know, our events managers, whoever, the operational managers, our sales managers, you know, we support them to do some wine training as well.
Cool, cool. Okay then, Tom, I think we'll wrap it up there. Cheers very much.
Oh, you're welcome, mate.
Cool.